Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham.
And I'm your co-host, DJ Sutterfield. Today is Monday, August 28th, 2017, and this is show number 621. We are so glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Amanda Bunt, former active duty service member and currently an Army wife, joining us to discuss Spartan Extreme Sports Racing. You can find out more about Spartan Extreme Sport Racing by going to www.spartan.com.
If you're listening to our show live, join our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, you can ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head on over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Also adding all the links mentioned in the show in the comment section below this podcast on Blog Talk Radio for you to easily refer back to and link over.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020. So, DJ, it's so cool to be hosting with you again this evening.
Yes, I'm excited to catch up.
Yes, so what's been going on in your Army wife life lately?
Well, today was a big day. Okay, so big for me, I think. My husband started back to college today, and he'll graduate in December. So did my son. He started his second year of college, so he's got a couple more. But it's exciting. They're going to the same university I graduated from, so that's exciting. And then, of course, I have procurement going on with the government and trying to purchase and get everything settled for the end of the year. You know how that is. What have you been up to?
Oh, yeah. Switching transitions, you know how we love to do that in the military. I'm going through my own transition now. So I've done working crazy full-time this summer, and I'm going back to school. So I'm stopping all that work stuff, and I'm actually going to go to school now. So it's, again, another transition and a different level of stress.
We're good at the transition, so.
That's something the military trains you well for transition.
Yes. So tell me, what are you going to school for?
I'm going for nursing.
Are you excited?
I am. I'm nervous, excited. You know, again, it's that whole transition, doing something new, looking forward, not knowing what you're doing, and, you know, kind of not trying to jump in head first, but, you know, just sticking your toes in real quick, and we'll see what happens. I'm really excited. My kids, my family, everybody's excited for me. So, you know, when you have your support network like that, you can't go wrong, I think. You know, you just got to plug away knowing that everybody's behind you.
Yes. And it's going to be exciting, and you can do this. I know you can do this, girl.
Oh, I know. It's just that whole, it's something new, it's something different, but it's good. And today was my daughter's first day back to school, so it's funny because on Facebook, everybody's putting all their back to school pictures and stuff, and everyone everywhere is going back to school, and it's just a neat, you know, beginning, I guess, that fall season coming in, school starting, everything's fresh again.
Well, and you're following your dream. So, you know, that is an exciting journey you're on now. So
it is. It is. So, well, and how does it feel like in your house with hubby and son going to school?
Oh my gosh. It's kind of crazy, but it's cute to watch them talk because they'll discuss school together. And, you know, and of course you see the transitions as your kids get older or whatever, but this is so cute. They talk algebra and they're talking about, you know, English and just the basic classes together. So it's very cute.
It's a very good example, you know, that your husband's setting for your son, and to do that, to share that together, that's an amazing thing. Not a lot of, you know, parents and kids get to do that.
I think that's the reason I find it so amazing to watch them, is because this is something that most parents will never get to experience, going back to school and your kid happens to be there too. So we've made plans because they're both kind of getting into the university. And now this year, or this semester coming up, we have to go to football games and we have to start taking part in everything because one's getting ready to graduate. You know, so I'm like, okay. So that'll add a little bit of stress with all the new things they want to do. But I'm excited for them because I did it while I was there. So new changes, you know.
Changes, transitions and changes. That's all we do. That's life, right?
Well, yes. We've been trained well.
That's what I said. You know, that we can thank our Army life for that, for sure. I think if anything, it makes us resilient and able to deal with change.
Yes, I think that's the greatest thing besides the families that, you know, became part of my family. But just the ability to just overcome, we definitely have that.
Yes, I feel it all the time. You know, you don't realize how it become your own thing, adapting and going through that transition, and then you adapt again, and you're like, well, that really wasn't that bad. And so now you can start to anticipate it and plan ahead a little bit, that no plan, but it kind of makes it a lot easier to go through.
Yes.
Absolutely. So if you're ready, I think we'll go ahead and move on to our hot topics this week.
Okay.
So hot in military family news, details on the Military Spouse Fellowship Program, a free course that only accepts 50 fellows a year. The Military Spouse Fellowship Program offers a free accredited financial counselor certification that is recognized nationally, making it an ideal certification for military spouses when they move to a new duty station. But the catch is that it only accepts 50 fellows a year, with applications being accepted earlier this year, starting in March and ending in April. Though the 2017 application year is over, spouses can be put on the emailing list for 2018. Through the program, fellows take online classes and gain experience in the field. When they complete the program, the fellows are qualified to support the military community as financial counselors at family readiness and support centers, credit counseling and tax centers, financial aid offices, and credit unions throughout the U.S. and abroad. Since 2006, the program has granted almost 1,500 fellowships to military spouses. The spouses have spent more than 747,700 hours counseling more than 170,000 service members on their finances. To read testimonies from the spouses who have gone through the program, check out the spouses section at militarytimes.com or look for a direct link being posted on our Twitter feed and below this podcast in the comments section on Blog Talk Radio. And to learn more about this program, go to militaryspouseafcpe.org.
Hot on AWN this week, experienced blogger Courtney Woodruff has 5 great key steps to celebrating a special milestone during a deployment. Sometimes it can be hard to find positive things about deployment, but there are ways to make a deployment more manageable, especially during the special times of the year, like Christmas, graduation, weddings, and a child's birthday. AWN experienced blogger Courtney Woodruff recently celebrated her son's first birthday, a very special milestone for the family. Since her husband missed the birth of their son, she wanted to make sure their son's birthday was extra special for her spouse, even though he was deployed. And from her experience, she was able to create 5 key steps for celebrating any special milestone during a deployment. Here we go. Step 1, need to be creative. She put together a care package for him that included his very own party hat, noisemaker, plate, napkins, and homemade cupcakes. 2, you've got to plan ahead. She prepared the package and sent it about 3 weeks before the day of her son's birthday, and it arrived the week of, just in the nick of time. 3, you need to be flexible. They weren't exactly sure when her husband was going to be able to connect with them that day, so they set up early and waited. 4, have a backup plan. She had her phone nearby so her husband could call when he needed to. And she also asked family and friends to snap pictures and capture the special moments on video just in case they got disconnected. And finally, 5, expect imperfections, but enjoy the moment anyway. When things go wrong, when things don't go exactly as planned. To read more about Courtney's advice for celebrating a special occasion with your deployed spouse, head on over to armywifenetwork.com. Check out the blog section.
It's AWN social media roundup time. The school year is back in full swing, and that means a whole new level of chaos to try to keep organized and balanced. Getting kids ready for school in the morning, running errands during school hours, to picking kids up from school, and of course, after-school activities. It's a busy time of year, and the family schedule often gets cluttered. So, AWN wants to know, how do you stay organized during the school year? We all need a little help sometimes, so head over to Facebook to leave your feedback for staying organized, or just browse the comments to hopefully gain some insight to managing the school year. So, DJ, with you having 2 people in school this semester, do you have any tips for staying organized?
Communication is the key. You've got to communicate with the family, and it doesn't matter the age of your kids. Sit down at dinner, talk about what's going on, keep a calendar, you know, and lean on your friends if you need to. Sometimes I needed help with, you know, from my girlfriends that live beside me to get one of the kids somewhere because I had to put the other one elsewhere. So you got to be, you know, communication, keep a calendar, and lean on your friends. I mean, that's what Army Wives do. We lean on one another, you know. What about you?
Oh, yeah, that's a great tip. Mine is, you know, plan ahead as much as possible. You know, we get those school calendars and make it a board so everybody in the house can see what's going on way ahead of time, because things are going to come up no matter what you try to plan. But if you can have as many things laid out in front of you, it's easier to juggle and, you know, fix some of those things that come up last minute and fit them in there, or use one of your friends, like you said, as a backup or anything, if you can see a lot of things ahead of time. You know what I mean? Laying it out?
Yes, definitely. You've got to have a plan for a plan, you know. And
exactly.
I mean, I don't know how you are, but I have to write everything down just to stay on top of what the kids have going on, and, you know, because you don't want to miss out on anything.
Oh, yeah. I have lists everywhere. I like to take one in the car with me. I keep one by my desk. I keep one in my purse. It's just, that's the only way I can be organized, to write it all down.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. So, DJ, why don't you tell us about our PSA this week?
Okay. Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to 1 per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. August is the midst of hurricane season, an important time to remember never to be caught by surprise or by a disaster of any kind. Peace of mind and take the time to create an emergency plan for your family. Don't get caught unprepared. Visit MilitaryOneSource.mil today to learn how to create a family plan. Or you can call them toll-free 1-800-382-9847. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our News 6 Charlotte, bringing you the need-to-know news. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line, bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Charlotte. What have you got
hey,
for us
Debbie
this week?
Hey, Debbie and EJ. How are you guys doing tonight? Tonight's news is following up on a recent story we shared a few weeks ago, which is the expansion of the GI Bill. We have good news. President Trump signed a bill this month dubbed the Forever GI Bill that increases aid by $3 billion over the next decade and extends assistance to some veterans and dependents who didn't previously qualify.
So, Charlotte, what makes this so important to service members and their families?
Well, DJ, the most significant change is that the bill immediately eliminates the 15-year time limit that veterans discharged after January 1, 2013 have to use or transfer their post-9/11 GI Bill benefits.
So, Charlotte, you mentioned that the bill also extends assistance to some who didn't previously qualify. Who else would benefit from the expansion?
Many veterans and family members not previously eligible may now benefit from the changes. A few of the changes include the following. Purple Heart recipients will now receive 100% of the benefits offered without having to meet the 36 months of active duty service requirement. Also, the Yellow Ribbon program will be expanded to include surviving spouses and children starting in August 2018 and active duty service members in August 2022. There will also be added benefits for those seeking STEM degrees in science, technology, engineering, and math fields, since it can take longer to obtain degrees in those areas. STEM degree-seeking eligible recipients will be able to apply for the additional scholarship money that can help pay for their education after the GI Bill benefits have been exhausted.
So, Charlotte, these changes sound great. How are these changes being funded?
Well, Congress voted to pay for the expansion of the Forever GI Bill through a 1% decrease in the housing stipend over the next 5 years. Beginning January 1, 2018, the housing stipend paid to those using their GI Bill benefits will decrease slightly to equal the amount being paid to current active duty E5s with dependents. This change will not affect anyone currently receiving benefits, only those who apply after January 1st.
Is there a website that families can go to and read about the rest of the changes and get more information on eligibility?
Absolutely. You can get more information and check eligibility at benefits.va.gov/GI Bill, or you can read more about the changes at the Post 9/11 GI Bill U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Facebook page. We have also posted the news link to this particular story in our Twitter feed as well as the comment section in Blog Talk Radio.
Charlotte, thanks so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we will be talking to Amanda Bunt about Spartan Extreme Sports Racing. We'll be right back.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham.
And I'm your co-host, DJ Sutterfield. Tonight we have with us Amanda Bunt. Amanda's been part of the Army family for 18 years now, both on active duty and as a spouse. She has three kiddos, two that she homeschools. She started obstacle racing in 2013 while her husband was on his fourth deployment, and she fell in love with the extreme sport obstacle racing immediately.
Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. We're excited to talk with you this evening.
Oh, good. Me too. I love to talk.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you're calling in from tonight?
Well, I am actually calling in from West Point, New York. We're stationed out here. My husband is a professor. We have three kids, two furry kids, and I loved obstacle course race.
Okay, so can you explain to our listeners what Spartan Extreme Sports Racing is?
Well, so there's various different kinds of obstacle course racing. A lot of people have heard of the Mud Runs or the Warrior Dash or Rugged Maniac. You know, there's lots of different kinds of them. And it's a type of race where instead of running the whole time, there's obstacles thrown in, whether it's a man-made obstacle or a natural obstacle, like a ditch or a downed tree or something like that. So it's just a way to break up running if you are not necessarily a long-distance runner.
So how did you first hear about that kind of racing?
Well, when we were stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, my husband deployed out of there, and his first sergeant's wife was really into it, so we just kind of got into it together. She invited me to join her on one, and we started racing together that first year, her and I, just kind of missing our guys, and it ended up becoming something that I just love to do. It's one of my favorite things to do now.
Okay, so what first captivated you about this obstacle course racing?
When I was active duty, Army, I was active duty for 8 years, and they're very big. The Army is very big into push-ups, sit-ups, and the two-mile run. And you just kind of train for those, and as long as you can pass your PT test, you call it good. So I just had that mentality in my head of running and running and running, and didn't really enjoy it all that much. So when I started to do these obstacle course racing and realizing that if you throw in a whole bunch of different things, even if it's inside of a 14, 15-mile race, I will be very happy to do it because I'm not running the whole time. I can break it up and do these different obstacles. And so it just works better for me, especially as I'm getting older. It works better for me to not be running that much but still be able to do these obstacle courses.
Okay. That sounds so exciting.
I love them. It is exciting.
So I've done an obstacle course race. So I know there's a lot of different ones out there. Can you tell us what types of them are there for other people to choose, from?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned before there's mud runs, which are really fun. They're very short. They're normally 5K, somewhere right around in there. And they're more just about having fun as opposed to running and winning, which I also like very much. I like the concept of having fun as opposed to, go, 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 go. I want to be the best and the fastest. So mud runs are very fun. Then there's Warrior Dash that has some really fun obstacles. Those are also normally a 5K. So those are like the ones where you would first start out with, those little 5K ones, and really get your body used to running a little bit and then doing an obstacle. And then you start to climb a little higher into like the Tough Mudders. I've done Tough Mudders as well. Those are a different type of obstacle. For me, those were almost like mental-based obstacles. You really had to talk yourself into doing some of them, like the electricity ones where you get shocked as you run through something, or big jumps off of high things into deep water. Some of those types of almost a fear-based, trying to get you through fear of it. And then there's ones like the Spartan where they're very CrossFit oriented, maybe, where you're climbing ropes and you're doing monkey bars and you're swinging on rings and lifting and sled dragging and tire flipping. So there's varying levels depending on kind of what you're used to, and you can start at a 5K and build your stamina all the way up.
Okay, so how many have you done, and what's the craziest obstacle you've done?
Let's see. So I've done a Tough Mudder and a Warrior Dash and a Mud Run. And then as far as Spartans go, I think I'm at 10 now. And there's three different levels of Spartans. There's the Sprint, the Super, and the Beast. And those are three different distances. So normally around 5 miles, around 9 miles, and around 13 to 14 miles. But it's broken up by obstacles. So it doesn't, I shouldn't say it doesn't feel like 14 miles. I tend to finish them and feel like I got hit by a truck, but they're fun. It's like in a fun hit by a truck way. Let's see, the craziest I still think might have been the Tough Mudder obstacles, though. Because of that, instead of being just using brute strength or, the agility for doing a monkey bar or something, or, the strength for climbing a rope, I really had to find a new something in me to run through a field of electric shock wires, or to jump off of, a 20-foot board, 20 feet in the air, and jump into muddy water. So it's, I think those were some of the craziest. There's one called Arctic Enema. It's not the best name, but you have to swim through a pool. I know, right? Like, can I say that? Can I say that on radio? It's too late. It's done.
Too late.
It's too late. Sorry. Where was your beep button? I should have warned you. But you have to, swim through a bath of ice. And you have to actually, dunk your head. I mean, it's a decent swim, and you're swimming. Your feet don't touch the bottom, and they are just dumping buckets and buckets and buckets of ice on you, and you have to go under a wall, so you have to completely submerge and pop out under a wall and then climb out, you know, on the other side. And that, honest to goodness, was probably the hardest one. It was so blasted cold, you know. So I got out and just felt like I couldn't even breathe, but I still had 6 miles left, so off I went.
But, yeah,
oh, my goodness.
When you're talking about the crazy stuff, have you ever been hurt, you know, on a race? Because, like I said, I think I did one. So I did a Rugged Maniac, and after I had done, like, some, you know, just some runs, and you're right, it kind of, it's fun. It breaks it up, and it's
yeah.
They're fun. And
yeah,
so I was, I think I was, I don't know, maybe a third of the way through, and there was this thing, like, leap, like you had a leap on these floating things in the water, and just like two
mm-hmm.
of them, and get across the water. And
mm-hmm.
I was watching people, and people were falling off into the water. I was like, okay, I'm probably gonna fall, but no big deal. But I hit it, and my body went one way, my ankle went the other, and I rolled the ankle, and got out. And I thought, oh my goodness, okay, keep going. And you know, you keep going. Next thing you know, my ankle's getting all swelled up, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm only a third of the way, and I still gotta go. But I went through the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
You want to do it. You know, you want to keep doing it because it's fun.
Yeah. Well,
and
sometimes with the adrenaline, you can't even feel that you're hurt.
Exactly. Exactly. So, have you ever been hurt on one? And if you did, like, or if you didn't, did you skip or stop any of those obstacles? Because once I was hurt, I really knew. I was like, okay, I can't break it. So let me be careful on what I'm doing. Because, you know, you
don't
have that option. So have you done that?
Let's see. I have only hurt myself twice. One of them is a funny story. So the Spartans, before you even cross the start line, there's a little wall you have to get over. And for me, I'm only 5'2", so this wall is normally at least neck high for me. Not that big of a deal, but still. So I hopped up and I slid over the side, and I scraped the underside of my arm from like elbow to armpit. Huge scrape. And I hadn't even started the race yet. So this is what my husband makes fun of me the most for, is that one. He's like, she got hurt on the Spartan before even starting the Spartan. So now I'm like gung shy of going over the wall, because I had a military ball 2 days later in this gorgeous dress, and then an elbow to armpit. It just, yeah, I mean, at least palm width. Just a gouge. It was ridiculous looking, but whatever. So I still had like the marker number on my arms. I just was a hot mess, that military ball, but we did it. And then one time I did slip off the monkey bars. Sometimes it really can depend on weather. You know, I've done some of these races, and if the weather is not good, some of the obstacles are just really, they can just be slippery and a little muddy and slidey, and they can definitely add a little danger level. And I was about halfway across, and my backhand slipped off of it, and I landed on my tailbone, and that did not feel the greatest. So I had to limp my way through. That was on a super, so that was a 9-miler. And I think I still had probably 3 or 4 miles left. And unfortunately, with the Spartans, if you choose not to do an obstacle, of course you can choose not to do any obstacle that you wish. There's big signs that say, you know, if you're not comfortable, it's okay. Please, you know, don't attempt it if you don't think you're comfortable, if you think it's too dangerous, you know. But you have to do 30 burpees, and I hate burpees.
I hate burpees.
Who likes burpees? So yeah, so I just rather do the obstacle. So even, you know, being gimpy, if I was able to finish the obstacle, I just did it, because I would rather do that. I mean, it actually hurt more to do the burpees. So, but
yes.
I've been really fortunate to not hurt myself very much at all.
So I do have a question.
I'm ready.
Are they divided into, like, when you compete, are you just competing against more women, or is it everybody competing at one time?
So a bit of both. They will do heats. So, you know, elite runs first thing in the morning, and that is men and women. and then competitive runs after that. And my husband and I have both ran the competitive, but it's also men and women. You all start the race together. And then the rest of the day is normally just, it's called open heat. And you start, it's every, 15 minutes, and you'll just start with about 200 racers and you'll finish. You have a little digital chip that you carry, and it marks your passing across certain obstacles so they know that you have actually done the course and you've started and finished. So you're running with everybody, all different ages, all different levels, but for your ranking, so when your race results are in, they will rank you according to your age group. You can, you can kind of adjust the stipulations. So you can figure out what you were according to your age group. You can figure out what you were according to female. You can figure out what you were overall, like over all the racers that race, so the probably 5,000 that race that day. So you can kind of, you can get your results for any of the above.
Okay, so talking about age, what's the youngest that can do this, can start competing?
So my daughter does the Spartan Kids, and she's 7. But she did him last year, too. I think you can start at 5 with the Spartan. But she has done mud runs. She did her first when she was 4. And they're very easy, like little half-mile ones. And now she's worked up to she's done a 2-mile one. This most recent one she did was a 1-mile. The Spartans are a little harder than the kind of the fun mud runs. So she just does the 1 miles for those. She loves them.
Sounds so exciting.
Is it? Do you feel intimidated or anything when you're, racing up against or running against with guys or people who are more fit or anything like that? Because I know there's like all walks of life that come out there to do these races, and so everyone is usually welcome. But that competition mode that gets out there, do you feel that when you're out there?
I actually really don't, and I'm not in the most excellent shape ever, but I'm not also at the bottom of the ring. I'm maybe middle to maybe a B plus, maybe somewhere right around in that range. And I don't ever normally feel that way. I mean, there are men and women out there that are just incredible, and you can see them like blow by you on the race. But it still is a very positive race environment. Everybody is very willing to like stop and help. If you need help, like say on one of the obstacles, there's always going to be 6 people standing there waiting their turn to say, oh, do you want some help? They'll help you over walls. They'll help you, hoist up your big sandbag. There's tons of different ways to help people on the obstacles. And I've never really felt intimidated or, ever felt that competitive, like, oh, I need to go faster and be better than you. I personally have not felt that at all. And I have ran with, I remember one time we were running with this Weight Watchers group, and it was awesome to see this group of like 20 women out there just working through every single obstacle together just to complete it. Like, I was so proud of them for being out there, and it just was a wonderful thing to see. So, and then, of course, you get these elite racers that are in an incredible shape, and they'll still high-five you on their way by and tell you you're doing a great job. So it's a pretty great racing environment, I think.
How do you train for something like this?
Let's see. For me, upper body strength has probably been what has helped me the most. So, even going to a playground where there's monkey bars, and just training yourself. It's an activity, those types of activities that you just don't do anymore. As a mom, I pick up my kids, I carry groceries, I yank the dog back from chasing a deer. There's just different types of muscle groups that you use now as a mom. And then to try to work your body into, okay, I actually need to be able to pick up a 40-pound log and hold it on my shoulder and walk up a hill with it. Just trying to find different ways to train your body for that. And I have, playgrounds with monkey bars are great. My husband has hung a climbing rope in our tree out back. It's a 30-foot climbing rope. My 7-year-old is out there every day climbing it. I'll go into the gym. When I go into the gym, I just find a big 40-pound plate, and I'll carry it with me on the treadmill. you know, and you can just set it in an incline and walk with the 40-pound plate, you know, hoist it on your back or hold it in front of you, just to kind of train your body to do something it doesn't want to do. You know, grip strength. I carry kettlebells, like as heavy as I can get them, 40, 45-pound kettlebells, and I'll just walk in circles around the perimeter of my gym and see how long I can go without putting them down to work on grip strength, you know, forearm strength, all these weird things. But there's websites that you can say, what are good obstacle training exercises? And websites will tell you, do this if you want to do an obstacle course race. They're great.
Okay.
As I say, Amanda, it looks like it's time for us to take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, let's talk a little bit more detail about the races and maybe how it, you know, affects maybe your family and things like that.
Sure.
All right, listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. You can also find links to everything we've talked about on the show tonight in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Save money while single. Make the most out of your BAH. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. If there's one skill you should have in your money-saving arsenal, it should be knowing how to get the most from your basic allowance for housing, or BAH. Here are a few suggestions. Make sure your rent does not exceed your BAH limit. In fact, try to keep your rent at 80% of your BAH. Use the remainder on utilities or save it in an emergency fund that can be used for a future security deposit. Beware of older properties, especially if you need to pay for the heat and air conditioning. Before you commit to an older home, contact the local utility companies to check the average utility costs. Commuting costs money. Living far from base will mean higher fuel costs. The farther away you live, the less likely you'll use your base commissary, which also provides savings. And finally, if you're single, get a roommate or several. Splitting living costs is one of the best ways to save money and meet people when you're single in the service. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Amanda Bunt, Army Wife and obstacle course racing enthusiast. Before we went to break, Amanda, you were sharing details about the different types of obstacles and all these different kind of things that racers can experience during a Spartan Extreme Sports racing course. So what was the one hardest race you've done overall, and why was it so hard?
Let's see. Well, so I have two answers, but they were almost the same race. So I did a Spartan. It was a lot of times on a weekend, if they're coming to a city and a great location, they will sometimes put two races together. So you can do one race one day and another race. So like a sprint and a super, or a sprint and a beast, they'll put them on the same weekend in the same place so that you can get, if you get all three of your medals in one year, it's called the Spartan Trifecta. It's a very cool thing. Each, you know, each medal that you get is a puzzle piece, and the three fit together. So if you can get that in 1 year, it's called a trifecta. So when they put two races in one place, it's an easy way to get two of those medals, which is awesome. So I did a sprint and a beast, so the 5-miler and the 14-miler back-to-back. So that was very, very hard to do. We ran the beast first, and it was in Montana, and the terrain was the toughest terrain I'd ever been on, just very hilly, very high elevation already. So your breathing is different and just very challenging. And I also was 4 months pregnant at the time, I had trained very hard for it. I still was very active in CrossFit. So I know that probably, if there are listeners out there, they probably are like, what? You know, they're going to go crazy. So I'm just going to apologize for that right now. But I was very well trained. I was in very, very good shape and had gotten cleared from my doctor to do it as long as I was very careful. So that also made it very difficult. My husband pretty much picked me up and carried me over every single obstacle because he was a nut about it. But it just was trying to hike up hills and stuff and carry even that 4-month baby extra weight was challenging. So I think, and that didn't even really have to do with obstacles. It just was the fact that I was 4 months pregnant and that it was my third. So that really changes your body, you know?
That's incredible.
That did not feel incredible at the time. Yeah. Yeah, we all got done, the team of us that were doing it. We got done with the beast the first day and are sitting in a restaurant having dinner, looking at each other like, why are we doing this again? Like, whose horrible idea was this to wake up tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and go back out on the same course and do another 5 miles? Like, why are we doing this? But we did it. We got our two pieces of the medals. You know, sometimes you can do crazy things when you want those little medals.
So you said team. So do you do this as a team?
You certainly can. Yeah. I mean, you can sign up as an individual. You can, like me and my husband, we try to run them as often as we can together. So we just sign up at the same time. So you'll get the same heat. You try to. But you can also create a team and sign up as a team, and anybody can join your team. And that way, if you're running with a group of, you know, 8 people, you can make sure and get the same time so you can run together.
Okay, so
what
type of course do you in? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, DJ.
Which one should I listen to?
Okay, so what type of course do you enjoy the most and why?
I really like the Spartan series. I've done quite a few, you know, of the different types. I just like the different obstacles that the Spartan series has. I like kind of the brute strength type, like the tire flipping and the sled drag and the carry this sandbag up this rugged hill. I also like running in the woods as opposed to running on pavement. I feel like it's better on my joints, my knees, and it's an easier path for me to do it if I'm running on the trails. And Spartans are, it's 98% trail running. So I do like the Spartans the best.
Okay. It's exciting.
So
I kind of want to sign up.
I know.
Do it.
You should just do it.
Even
do
if
it,
you walk
DJ.
It. I mean, you can walk them. There are walkers, and they do it. And they'll walk up to an obstacle, and they'll do their best. Everybody around that obstacle will help them and cheer them on. Like, I have never had a bad experience. They want you to finish. They want you to succeed, no matter what the race, you know. I would just do it. And at the end, you'll either love it or hate it, but at least you'll know.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so I'm going to have to check into this. You've inspired me.
Thank you. You should. You should try it. At least do one in your life, and you could be like, I did it. It was horrible. I'm never doing it again, but I did it. Or maybe you'll fall in love, you know? You could be out there, like, getting your trifecta every year, running your 3 races, crossing that 14-mile finish line like a boss.
So I have a question about your kids with this.
Yes, I'm ready.
What do you hope your training and racing teaches your kids about health and fitness?
You know, I really love seeing my oldest daughter get very into this, to want to climb ropes, to want to do monkey bars. You know, she loves gymnastics and soccer, and just trying to show her, like, I'm not skinny. You know, I'm certainly not whatever the body type is that everybody has it in their head they want to be. You know, nobody's hardly ever happy with themselves. But it's okay for me to tell my daughter, I am strong. Like, I'm strong, I'm fit, I'm healthy. I can do these races, and so can you. You know, I'm 36, I can get up this rope, and I can do these monkey bars. It took a lot of hard work. I had to train for it. But if I can do it, so can you, and so can your friend's mom, and so can your grandma. You know, if you want it, work for it. And it's okay to not fit that ideal body type. Like, that's what I want her to really understand, is that strong is beautiful. Just strong and fit and healthy, you know, is different than skinny and statuesque, you know, whatever. As long as you're healthy, who cares? Who cares what you look like?
That's great. I mean, just just what you're doing for your kids and showing them that you work hard and you can do this, and the obstacles that they overcome. I mean, that's just awesome for your kids.
I hope so. I hope that it is. You know, and she seems to really enjoy them already. I hope that maybe when she's a teenager and old enough, if we could do them together, like that would just be amazing to be able to run a sprint or something with my oldest daughter. That would be really fun.
So I got a question. Are all the races? Sorry, you got a little quiet there. So are all the races? You know, the people that are going. Is it? Are there a lot of women that do this? Is it very women friendly? And do they need to be, like, incredibly fit, buff? And I know you mentioned some stuff, you know, the Weight Watchers group, and I know I've seen people all walks of life, but I know it could be intimidating for women to do that. So what's your, suggestion for that?
I think the split between men and women is pretty fair, and you'll see all walks of life from both genders, both old and young and incredibly fit down to, you know, the walkers that just want to complete the race and say that they've done it. And I've never felt intimidated. I think it's very women friendly. I just finished a race this past Saturday here at West Point. They had a West Point Spartan, and I got to work on support staff for, like, after my race. I worked the rest of the day and well into the evening at one of the obstacles. And it was so much fun to be that supporting voice, yelling at them as they're working on the obstacle, you know, just encouraging them and telling them how great they were doing and they should be proud of themselves and they're almost done, you know. And I think it's very positive. I can just speak from the Spartan experience as far as working support staff, but I've noticed the staff is always very positive. To me, it seems like they are very fun to do. They're very women friendly. They're very kid friendly. Yeah, I think so. I don't see any gender discrimination at all as far as being a woman and being expected to not be able to do these things. I think it's great that they do expect you to do them.
Yeah. So a person who wants to start, say if I want to sign up for my very first race, which one do you suggest?
If you've never done an obstacle race before, I would probably do like either a mud dash or a mud run, you know, one of the fun mud runs, or the warrior dash. I would try one of those because you'd be able to tell pretty quick if you even like obstacle course racing. Because those they're very fun and they have a few obstacles. So you can kind of see if obstacle things are for you. And if you start there and you decide you like it, you could then kind of look around you and see what's coming up. You know, check with the various races and see what works with your schedule. And, I mean, there's Spartan Sprints. Now Tough Mudder does a Tough Mudder Half. so it's only 6 miles instead of the normal 12. And I think both the Warrior Dash and a normal, like a mud fun run, I think those are 5Ks, so that's like 3.6 or something. So there's varying levels for beginner all the way to advanced. And I would start with that. And if you've already done an obstacle race and you know that you like them, then, I mean, I would certainly try a Tough Mudder or a Spartan. Rugged Maniac is a great one. Bone Frogs, the Bone Frog series, those are like the little bit more hardcore obstacle course racers.
Okay.
I have another quick question for you.
What do you
think it's been like in the military community? Do you think a lot more military families are getting into this? Because it is, you know, it's empowering, you know, our guys are always doing PT and stuff. And do you tend to find a lot more military friends and stuff that are out there doing this?
I was really surprised here at West Point that not a lot, I don't feel like a lot of them did. We saw a few go out there and do it, but if you've never done one before, it can be intimidating. And if you are a runner, then you might just want to be a runner. Or if you go to the gym, then you are just happy with yourself and going to the gym. You know, kind of whatever you have been doing, I think sometimes, especially in this stage of life, it can feel very intimidating to say, yes, I think I want to run an obstacle course race if you've never done it before. So I was very surprised that there weren't more military spouses or military at the West Point one. But I think as a whole, because obstacle racing is getting more popular, it certainly has become more popular even since I've been doing it since 2013, so just those few years, it's become kind of the thing. And CrossFit has also really taken a hold in the military community as well, so where now it'll be on bases, or at least CrossFit-type workout groups, which are really good training for obstacle course racing. So I think the mindset is changing a little bit. It's not just push-up, sit-up, run, push-up, sit-up, run, push-up, sit-up, run. We're definitely thinking, oh, there's more to being, you know, well-rounded and fit than just being able to do push-ups, sit-ups, and a run.
Okay. So tell us where our listeners can go to learn more about Spartan Extreme Racing or sports racing. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So, their website is www.spartan.com. And from there, you can get recipe ideas. You can get Spartan workout of the day, and they'll send you daily emails about what they're doing, and it'll have video links so that you can watch a video about what they're doing to help explain it to you. My dog flapping his ears. They'll have all the information about the races, and it'll have a whole map of the United States, and you can see where all the races are and what style of race it is. You know, they're color-coded, so you'll know if it's a sprint, a super, or a beast. But the website has tons of great information. There's workout tours where you can go to a Spartan workout tour if it's in your city and go work out with the Spartan coaches and let them show you the, you know, proper body form for different exercises and give you great ideas on how to train your muscles to do some of these obstacles that they're asking you to do. So there's some pretty great information. And I think even for Tough Mudder, I mean, Google will find you anything. You can Google, you know, I bet it's toughmudder.com or ruggedmaniac.com, bonefrog.com. That would be my guess. But I'm about the Spartan, so spartan.com.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to check into it, and this has been so enjoyable.
I hope you do.
Amanda, thank you so much for being our guest this evening and sharing with us about all your experiences with the Spartan Extreme Sports Racing and just all the information to empower us to get out there and get a little bit more physical.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. We will be taking next Monday off in observance of Labor Day. Be sure to join us the following week, September 11th, 2017, for a special Remembrance Day interview with Wesley Bogus, sharing about her book, God, Country, Golf, Reflection of an Army Widow.
In the meantime, you can join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.